You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
people.
Where do you want to be?
Where you want to be?
What your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotel Family. Hope everything is well for you today. Hope you're going to have a good day and a good weekend. And I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can't do, and will do. And hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not, you'll get it done anyway. You ain't going to put it off. You don't procrastinate. You're a doer for our people. And that's why we love you. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that. And there will be programs that are dated and titled. But also, too, whatever search engine you have, you know, Google, whatever. And you can just put in this in the search at the top there. BabaOshi.net. BabaOshi.net. And there will be programs that are dated and titled. You know. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Like I say, we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Mondays, from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Kamal Kamban, Dr. Mawia Kamban, and Sister Nataki Kamban, Black Therapy Central, from 8 to 9 on Monday. From 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report, every Wednesday from 8 to 9, the Black Farmers Report. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, it's time for an awakening, brothers and sisters. You know what time it is. It's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. this evening. On Saturdays, from 7 to 9 on Saturdays, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We buy black. We buy black. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. WeBuyBlack. Africa for the Africans. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Brother Bomani Tayemba has been taking our people to the motherland for many years, since 2006, and he has taken over 500 of our people. And he's willing to do more. In fact, his next trip upcoming, his next tour is to Ghana, May 24th to June 5th, $3,800. Then to Tanzania again, November 17th through the 28th to Tanzania, $3,800. And then to Ghana, December 24th to January 5th, 2023, and that's $4,000.
And then the Senegal and Gambia trip that was postponed from April this year to March 31st to April 10th next year. And that will be $3,800. Also, too, you can go online to his website at AfricaForTheAfricans.org. There's land for sale, investments at the Black Star Repatriation and the Pan-African communities in Ghana. There's all kinds of good stuff. And everything you need is right there on the website. Brothers and sisters, if you want to see photos, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see pictures, go to YouTube. Excuse me, if you want to see photos and pictures, same thing. If you want to see videos, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Man, oh man. Habashah Incorporated. Habashah helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. Habashahincorporated.org. Brothers and sisters, go to the website, Habashahincorporated.org. Look at the beautiful things they're doing. The programs, the Habashah Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, the Golden Growers, and Urban Green Jobs. Also, too, they're going to have the Kashi Project launch October 8th through the 17th in Ghana, West Africa. The Kashi Project, the buildings are up. They're just doing great work, and they can still use the help. So, brothers and sisters, go to HabashahIncorporated.org/Kashi, K-A-S-E, the Kashi Project. I'll talk about it maybe on Monday in more in depth. The Kashi Project. Okay. Oh, I didn't get there in there. I'm so sorry. Okay. Let me. Oh, man. I didn't put the Ledge Group. Okay. Let me go find the Ledge Group, y'all. Let me find the Ledge Group, because the Ledge Group, you know, you got to have the Ledge Group in there. Those brothers and sisters are doing great work. Land, Ledge stands for the Ledge Group, Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics, the Ledge Group. And, of course, they deal in the four areas of human existence, food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 different countries with over 170 employed and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the Ledge Group. In fact, if you are a member, excuse me, if you are a member, you can buy land in Tanzania, if you are a member, huh? For $250 an acre. The Ledge Group, excuse me, Abibiatumi.com. Go to Abibiatumi.com or Abibiatumi.com, and the Connecticut University, the work that they're doing. I've been having problems with this. I apologize, dear brothers and sisters. I don't, this person is calling me and just don't want to take a no that I don't want to talk to call me later. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Call them when I get a break, for real. You know. And see, my phone is off, but I got this pad here. And that's what keeps ringing. And I don't know how to. Well, anyway. Go to bibiatumi.com. A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I. BB2Me.com. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in Atlanta in the West End on Ralph David Abernathy, selling delicious smoothies and fruit drinks, pastries, and soups, and all kind of healthy products at Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Across the street from Shrine of the, excuse me, across the street from Soul Vegetarian, down the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Check out Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Give them a call at 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia. Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia. She's got it going on. So please, if you're in the Atlanta area, please check them out. the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, Brother Kazimdi Ajamu, and they have a coffee bar as well. Give them a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. He also has delicious Cameroon Boyo. Afroletics, they have a store in the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market in Stonecrest. It's just east of Atlanta off of I-20, Interstate 20, exit number 75, Turner Hill Road. Make a right, three lights, and then you make a right at that third light, and on your left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our spirit. They had their Thursday night broadcast last night, every Thursday night at from 9 to 10 on Thursday on Blog Talk Radio from 9 to 10 every Thursday night. So check out Us Lifting Us. The number to call is 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Homeland Village and Gift Shop, Brother BJ, Abijah, man, he's got it going on. He's got furniture. He's got clothing. He's got jewelry. He's got books. He's got tapes. He's got it all. Brothers and sisters, check out Brother Abijah in Macon, Georgia, 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. Or give him a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. The Homeland Village and Gift Shop. Akabin Institute. That's right, Akabin Institute. Let me put this up. I want to see this right here. Yeah, there we go. Akabin Institute, Brother Baba Baruti and his lovely wife, Inia, have been doing great work of educating our young warriors at Akabin Institute. They deserve our support. Brothers and sisters, if you're old school like me, make your check of money order out to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box. Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But you can use Cash App and PayPal. If you use Cash App, put in the dollar sign, the letter YA, and then the YAAM, the letter M, BARUTI, Baruti. Also, two of you, Brother, he has a fine selection of books. Go to Akabin House to get those books authored by our good brother, Baba Mwalimu Baruti. Oh, okay. Sun God Essentials, let me get this in, and I'm going to put this plug in for Baruti for his identity course. Sun God Essentials, one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall. Inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. And contact my sister Shelly Amonset at 404-434-7963. 404-7963. Sun God Essence. And Sanjay-Aiti. Sanjay-Aiti.org. Sister Gabrielle Real, who's doing great work. He's doing great work in Haiti. Contact us. Sonjay-Aiti.org. Sanjay-Aiti.org. Okay. I want to talk about the identity course that Baba Baruti is going to have. It begins next week, Wednesday. It's a course. Identity course begins next week, Wednesday, and and it runs through March 28th at 7:30, from 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. The donation, adults, $60 for the course, or $20 per class. For youth, $45 for the course, or $15 for the class. Okay. And, of course, if you use PayPal, you can put in YAABaruti, Y-A-A Baruti, at yahoo.com. If you use Cash App, you dollar sign YA, Y-A-M-M, Baruti, B-R-U-T-I. And of course, put the information in that is so vital and pertinent information, your name, the identity course, your name and your email address. So the link can be streamed to you. Identity course. Register now. Okay. All right. Understand our culture and concepts and the frontline African centeredness, the identity course given by Baba Baruti. And that is every Wednesday, starting next week, Wednesday. All right. All right, brothers and sisters. I'm glad this person stopped calling. I know who the person is. I'm glad they just stopped calling. Okay, the Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. February 24th. No one can truly defend democracy while fostering dictatorship and tyranny throughout the world. No judiciary system can fight against crime if the system itself is an umbrella to crime-related activities. A new handgun is produced every 20 seconds by the 992 gun manufacturers in this country. Wow, 992 gun manufacturers. Okay, that comes to 3 handguns made every minute, 180 every hour, 4,320 every day, 30,240 every week, nearly 130 every month, and over 1.5 million every year. Still, this does not speak to the 250 million plus legal handguns already in circulation, or the untold number of illegal ones brought through underground markets or through prizes owned by veterans of European wars on the world. It does not speak to the assault weapons, shotguns, rifles, grenade launchers, bazookas, attack helicopters, tanks, or handheld surface-to-air missiles. And last but not least, this legal handgun market is in no way speaks to the thousands of individuals who know, or millions who can, easily learn how to make weapons. Guns, whether produced in factories or basements, are made by people using relatively simple technology like the kind illustrated in the Anarchist Cookbook. What one man can make, another can replicate. A mind focused on violence and destruction will surely find a way to this end. A people whose cultural ceiling, their personality directed to them to live, to conquer and rule by armed force, will become better and better at it as they practice it against all others. Affirm, I clearly recognize the violent nature of Europeans, but not passively. Affirm, I clearly recognize the violent nature of Europeans, but not passively. Yeah, you can make a gun through a computer now. 3D. They can do it. There's so many ways. Just like they bought that piece of the bump stock to put it on a gun to make it an automatic weapon. As I always said, brothers and sisters, the European has always found a better way to kill your ass. February 25th. We cannot wait a people who have denied our reality and attempted to destroy or neutralize the healthiness of our culture to provide solutions. We cannot look to these people to restore our way. Dr. Mawia Kamban. At the end of the day, the work begins. After we have expended all our energies surviving the madness comes the second wind that enables us to smile at and hug each other in genuine, unpretentious love, and again to do that quiet, insistent work of nation building. It is a glorious, fulfilling time when we attend lectures by our own, have our study groups, drum and dance, and attend community classes, sometimes face-to-face or sometimes online. It is when we direct our right passive programs, carefully listen to the wisdom of our most thoughtful elders, study our classics, write our truths, teach from the heart, go to spiritual gatherings, and watch and discuss the merits and lessons of our historical documentaries and Sankofian movies. It is a time spent celebrating births, spiritual joining of families, a time when families, complements, and individuals can receive counsel. We gather at day's end as individuals in collective meditation to correctly channel our righteous rage, as families deliberating our mission statements, as communities reaffirming our desire to earn our ancestors' appreciation. It is our time and our time alone. Affirm, I fill my spare time purposefully with us. Affirm, I spend my spare time purposefully with us, with purpose. February 26. The race needs workers, not leaders. Dr. Carter G. Woodson. Re-African Nation, to re-Africanize ourselves, is a process whereby we take what we are learning through the submersion and submission into the lessons of our story and begin to apply it to ourselves in an effort to change ourselves from what we have been forced to imitate and exaggerate into our true selves, our ancestors. It is a process wrought with difficulty and hardship because our mental side has an extensive root system and logically connects everything we formerly thought and believed to be an absolute truth. The anti-African crusade coming from without and from within to keep us de-Africanized assaults us from every angle and in virtually every thought to the point where it's sometimes overwhelming. But once we know we are African and once we recognize we are not European, nothing Eurasians bring can stop us from being who we are. Re-Africanization is the process whereby we raise into our African selves and begin the conscious, collective process of changing our environment to match our growing awareness of how an African world would and should feel in this time and place. As we think, we become. Re-Africanization is a personal transformation. We actually become our ancestors. And with time and the evaluation of significant numbers of Africans into consciousness, it becomes a communal transformation. Affirm, I am a re-Africanized worker. Ashe. Affirm, I am a re-Africanized worker. The Inye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. The Inye Sesem. Today, we're going to talk about talk to a few people. In fact, I talked to Baba Baruti. He's going to be with us on Monday, March 14th. I'm looking forward to that. Always look forward to having a conversation with Baba Baruti. So Monday, March 14th, this Monday. This Monday is the 28th, the 7th, the third Monday from now. March 14th. Also, too, I talked to Brother Bashir Muhammad Batah Akanyele. He's out of the East Coast, out of Newark, with the ASCAC, and he writes columns in the New Black, Your Black World. In fact, I've read them, and he's been on the program a couple of times, and he said he's going to free some time up, and we'll be having him on the program soon. So if you got some people that you'd like to hear on the program that we can talk to, let me know. Give me a call, 414-324-5796, 414-324-5796, or call me here at 215-490-9832, and let me know, okay? Let me know. But there's a piece that he wrote, and it's a good piece. So we're going to use this particular piece today to form our discussion. And our discussion in this month of February, which is our month, and he talks a lot about our history in this particular piece, The Conspiracy to Destroy African People, the conspiracy to destroy African people. He begins with a quote. This is Your Black World. Begins with a quote from Brother Omawale El-Hajj, or just Malik El-Shabazz, Brother Malcolm X. He begins with Malcolm. And yeah, I don't know why this damn thing keeps coming here. I don't know what this thing is about. How do I get this damn thing off? I'm just having all kinds. This must be Friday, family. I'm having some difficulties here. Okay, there we go. Stop this. Just stop it, okay? Damn it. All right. In America, there is no such thing as a Democrat or Republican anymore. In America, you have liberals and conservatives. The only people living in the past who think in terms of if I'm a Democrat or Republican is the American Negro. He's the one that runs around bragging about party affiliation. He's the one that sticks to the Democrat or sticks to the Republican. But white people are divided into two groups, liberals and conservatives. The Democrats who are conservative vote with the Republicans who are conservative. The Democrats who are liberal vote with the Republicans who are liberal. The white liberals aren't white people who are for independence, who are moral or ethical in their thinking. They are just as a fraction of white people that are jockeying for power. The same as the white conservatives is a fraction of white people that are jockeying for power. They are fighting each other for power and prestige, and the one that is the football in this game is the Negro. 20 million Negroes. Malik El-Shabazz. I will use the word African and black interchangeably in my commentary to identify people of African descent. And of course, if you know me, I try to use African whenever I can. And if I feel a particular word is most poignant, then that's what it'll be. But I try to use African, American African all the time. The wisdom of Dr. Asa Hilliard, one of the most profound African-centered scholars of the African-centered movement, is still needed today. When he was alive, he taught that European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, known as white supremacy, consistently recognizes itself to completely maintain European, Caucasian dominance over African people. Dr. Asa Hilliard lived from August 22nd, 1933 to August 13th, 2007. He died in giving a tour in Kemet. The same thing as my good friend, and I knew Asa Hilliard as well. I know his wife very well, Bobby Joe Hilliard, who used to be the mayor of, of East Point here in Atlanta. And my good brother Renoka Rashidi, he made his transition doing what he loved as well. And I'm quite sure the ancestors are very pleased with their work. His African name was Nana Beaufort. Nana Beaufort was a Fuller E. Calloway Professor of Urban Education at Georgia State University, with joint appointments in the Department of Education Policy Studies and the Department of Educational Psychology and Special Education. Nana Beaufort worked centered on ancient Kemetic studies, African history, African culture, and educational psychology. Within the field of education, he served on many scholarly levels to improve the enlightenment of humanity, particularly for African people. Nana Beaufort was a member of the Alliance. He was a member of the Alliance of Black School Educators, San Francisco chapter, founder, American Association for Colleges for Teaching Education, the American Psychology Association, the fellow and board member of the National Black Child Development Institute. His African-centered consciousness led him to community activism in the African world community. Nana Beaufort became one of the leading voices of ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations, of which the brother who authored this, Brother Akinyele, and myself and many others are members of. We have a solid African ASCAC chapter here in Atlanta. Hope you have one where you are. If you don't, hey, we can start one. You know? Nana Beaufort passed onto the ancestor realm, but before his death, Nana Beaufort helped set up many ASCAC study groups in America and around the world to challenge existing institutions on the planet to support and serve African people and our interests. This great African ancestor wrote many books on African people, African culture, African spirituality, and the importance of developing an African-centered educational model for our empowerment. The following are some of his books and scholarly articles he wrote while present with us, such as The Maroon Within Us, excellent book. Selected Essays on American African Community Socialization. Saba, SBA, Saba, The Reawakening of the African Mind. Teaching, Learning, Anti-Racism, A Developmental Approach. The Teachings of Patahotep. Remember, we talked about Patahotep before. The Price, Patahotep was the great scholar of the third dynasty of ancient Kemet. He's the one who wrote a book, the first one, Patahotep. The Price They Paid, Desegregation in an American African Community, Infusion of African and American African Content in the School Curriculum, African Power, Affirming the African Indigenous, Socialization in the Face of Culture, Socialization in the Face of Culture Wars, and The Drug for Racism, Imperatives for American African Schools. Nana Beaufort has lectured in many African communities and around the world, on the continent and around the world. But before his passing a few years ago, he was featured speaker at ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations, annual national conference that took place in Philadelphia. His keynote address was on the Cultural War, African-centered education, and the fight against the destruction of African people. African-centered education and the fight against the destruction of African people. During his speech, he said in summation, that the African world community is in a cultural war with Caucasian supremacy, the system of racism, and with some of our own people. Ultimately, Nana Beaufort argued that the intentions of Caucasian supremacy are to make African people non-threatening to the system of oppression in America and in the world by making us culturally and Europeanize, colonize African people through dividing African people from one another and our interests, attacking our own legitimate African leadership, discrediting our own African history, sabotaging our own African culture, and enabling our own African spirituality. For example, shucks, see, I hit that thing. I'm glad you folks are bearing with me. I appreciate that. For example, get that right there. Nana Beaufort said in the early 1980s, America's Republican Party worked to create their own version of African, this is the appropriate time to use this word, black leadership for the African, American African community. This consisted of the following: the former Republican president, Ronald Reagan, right-wing Republican think tank organizations, Republican leaders, In other words, the establishment needed black leadership that pandered to the interests of Caucasian people in America and in the world. Nana Beaufort said, to make this reality, Republicans called a meeting with some members of the black community to replace independent, community-based black voices and leadership left over from the civil rights era and black power movements of the 50s, 60s, and 70s, i.e. Kwame Ture, Chakwe Lumumba, Minister Farrakhan, Reverend Jesse Jackson, Reverend Joseph Lowry, Hosea Williams, Andy Young, Tom Bradley, Coleman Young, Shirley Chisholm, Dorothy Height, Mother Queen Mother Moore, John Lewis, Amira Baraka, and quite a few others. He said Republicans met in San Francisco at the Fairmont Hotel on December 12th and 13th in 1980 for the sole purpose of developing an alternative black leadership to existing African leaders in the American African community. Nana Beaufort said, this meeting was attended by black people such as Clarence Thomas, Thomas Sowell, Marie Johnson, Henry Lucas, Chuck Stone, Oscar Wright, Walter Williams, Charles Hamilton, Martin Kilson, Percy Sutton, and Tony Brown. The meeting was chaired by Republican Ed Meese. Ugh. In 1985, Meese became the 75th U.S. Attorney General. However, Nana Beaufort said, once some of our people found out who the organizations were, they left the meeting. But Nana Beaufort encouraged the ASCAC attendees to read the Fairmont papers to get the true picture of the dangerous nature of this meeting to our community. He said that in the book, many of the attendees stayed at the meeting to help Caucasians establish and to undermine African leadership in America and in the world. The Fairmont Papers is a 96-page book published in 1981 by Caucasians and black conservatives on alternative strategies to a revolutionary progressive black agenda for the empowerment of African people in the United States. For some of you millennials who never heard of Ed Meese, please do your own homework on this major political figure. But in the meantime, here is some background intel on the Republican political operative Ed Meese of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Ed Meese was born December 2nd in 1931. He is an American attorney, law professor, author, and member of the Republican Party. Meese served in many official capacities in the Reagan administration, gubernatorial, when Reagan was governor, so his gubernatorial administration from 67 to 74 in California, in his presidential transition team in 1980, and of course in the White House from 1981 to 1985. Ed Meese. I hate Meese's to pieces. He eventually rose to the U.S. government to hold the position of the 75th U.S. Attorney General from 85 to 88, a position from which he resigned following the WedTech scandal. But Nana Beaufort did not stop there about the war to destroy African people. He mentioned another Caucasian Republican bent on Caucasian dominance, and he talked about Lynn Cheney. Lynn Cheney. Lynn Cheney, the wife of former Vice President Dick Cheney. And if you know anything about Dick Cheney, of course, his daughter, she's the one that sits on the commission and went against Trump. She ain't, listen, she ain't all that. That's for damn sure. She ain't. I can't stand her ass. But anyway, Dick Cheney, if you know this, Idiot Bush, the younger, he said, I want to find a vice president to run with me. I'm going to give you the opportunity to find a vice president, and so you can go out there to find a vice president. Dick Cheney came back and said to him, "Say, hey, I couldn't find nobody better than me. I'm going to be your vice president." And, of course, Bush said, okay. Dick Cheney, man. That's the one who went on that hunting accident and shot his partner in the face. Dick Cheney. Man, made billions, man. Going into Iraq with his Halliburton organization. Lynn Cheney, the wife of former Vice President Dick Cheney, worked to make sure any attacks on white people, on white hegemony, any attacks on white hegemony remain neutralized. Before Bill Clinton, a Democrat from Arkansas, became president of the United States of America, she was on the board of the U.S. National Endowment of Humanities. As the director of the National Endowment of Humanities, she used her influence to protect white dominance in the world. Ms. Cheney targeted the 1980s PBS special called The Africans, a triple heritage, to be canceled. It was hosted by Alij Mansouri. Great series, brothers and sisters. You can watch the series again. Once again, one of my favorite places to go. Go to YouTube, put in The Africans. Go to YouTube, put in The Africans. A Triple Heritage with Alij Mansouri. From 1 to 7, there were 7 segments of it. It was 2 hours long each. The Africans, excellent, excellent program. Alij Mansouri lived from February 24, 1933 to October 12, 2014. He was born in Mombasa, Kenya, but became an American academic professor. He was a political writer on African and Islamic studies and on African North-South relationships. Professor Mansouri positions included director of Institute of Global Cultural Studies at Birmingham University in Birmingham, New York, and the director for the Center for African-American Studies and African Studies at the University of Michigan. Now back to Ms. Cheney. Struggled to rid the television airwaves of a revolutionary documentary on African history. She did her best. Nana Balfour said, because the documentary linked Africa's current problems to European exploitation, she had an issue with the film. Lynn Cheney insisted that the National Endowment end their funding for the Africans. Although she was not successful at stopping the funding for the film, Ms. Cheney was able to remove the National Endowment for the Humanities from the credits. Ms. Cheney had been a longtime Republican operative. She had been part of far-right Republican organizations such as the ultra-conservative American Enterprise Institute. She is a staunch defender of racist, white, and colonialist European Western cultural traditions. As a point of clarification, I must mention that little American history and political science. This analysis will help us understand that the conspiracy to destroy African people has a long history in the United States. So now let us begin. African people were kidnapped from Africa against our will. Since 1619, African people were enslaved in America, so-called legally, forced African people into racial servitude for nearly 250 years. It accumulated billions of dollars in wealth for America and Caucasian people, but left African people poor, broke, and without a penny of reparations to rectify centuries of African servitude. African captivity was built upon Caucasian supremacist fictitious ideological notions that African people, their culture, our history, our spirituality were inferior to them. Therefore, in their warped racial thinking, Caucasians were justified enslaving us. However, the enslavement of African people caused major debates and divisions in the United States, particularly from its two major political parties, the Democrats and the Republicans. On the one side, the Democrats, they were pro. On the other side, the Republicans were anti. These divisions led America on a path to the Civil War. Although the war
was in the air. Democrats and Republicans, both parties, shared the same view about us. Let's not be, and just like I told a person, says the Civil War was not about us being enslaved. Stop it. Because if it was, and once we were free, what happened? And I ain't just talking about the 10 years of Reconstruction. What happened? How were we treated? How were we treated everywhere? And how are we treated still today? They were open about their hatred and disdain for African people in America and everywhere else. However, the Caucasian Republicans did not always have an anti-African policy towards American African community. Some historians argue that Republicans were not morally moved to end our captivity. Many Republicans viewed human slavery in America as an obsolete means of production, the emerging industrialization of the North against the free labor economy of the South, the issue. Whatever they cause, may be in U.S. politics, Republicans were the loudest voices to see the particular institution abolished. During the time leading up to and after the Civil War, Caucasians, Republicans, a political party that traces its roots to Abraham Lincoln, were the strongest advocates for ending the captivity. When the Civil War ended in 1865, the U.S. dominated. Republican Congress passed the 13th Amendment, which was, of course, supposed to end it, except if you were in prison. If you were in prison, then you could be back into, quote, slavery. The 14th Amendment, giving us citizenship, which you didn't even ask for. And, of course, the 15th Amendment, giving us the right to vote, which we're always constantly trying to undo and fight for. Republicans supported the U.S. reconstruction of the formerly enslaved African community, and they promised 40 acres and a mule to all our people, but they did not deliver on any of all of that. They didn't deliver on none of that stuff because they didn't believe it and they didn't care to. However, despite many gains of African people, we are still presently in real struggle for our reparations, equality, power, and independence. But getting back to American history and political science, after Reconstruction ended in 1870, Caucasian racist Southern Democrats, many of them were either captor holders or former so-called masters, traced their roots to Andrew Jackson, controlled all the Southern states in America. They worked to disenfranchise African people who, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to take a break. If I read this, I'm going to take a break because this is a little longer piece here. Okay? I'm going to come back to this piece. And it's a good information. Brother does a good job. Some good history, and I'm going to love to have the conversation. So I'm going to run through this, and we're going to have conversation. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspective here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us. Okay? All right, family.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Solo.
listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Maria Cambon and Ataki Cambon, followed by from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report, Wednesdays from 8 to 9. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on Saturdays at 7 p.m. from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday, once again, at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. On Fridays, I announce my good brother's program, Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness, on Blog Talk Radio. My good friend, Brother Yusuf Muhammad, former president of the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters, like myself, and a very good brother, a very dear friend. The number to call to listen, their program is from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the number to call is 563-999-3089. That's 563-999-3089. Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. That was Sun Goddess, Ramsey Lewis, and Earth, Wind, and Fire. Great piece, isn't it? Sure is. Sun Goddess. All right, dear brothers and sisters, let's get back to the business at hand. All right. After Reconstruction ended in 1870, only lasted 10 years, number of brothers, particularly, got elected to Congress. Senator Pinchback was the governor of Louisiana for a minute. You know, and even like today, we have more governors and, not no governors, excuse me, we have more people in political office. Let me say it correctly, Brother Oshie. More people in political office, and yet our situation isn't any better. So let me continue. Many of them were either slave masters or former slave masters, and they could trace their roots to Andrew Jackson, that asshole. And they control all the southern states in America. They worked to disenfranchise African people who were now Republicans. Nearly all Southern Caucasians gave their electoral votes to the Democrats in presidential elections. These conditions created the U.S. history books called the Southern Compromise of 1877. This thing called the Southern Compromise of 1877 was an unwritten deal. It was informally arranged by all Caucasian congressmen that settled an intensely disputed 1876 presidential election. The Southern Compromise resulted in the U.S. government making a racist decision to pull all U.S. Army troops out of the South to formally end the U.S. Reconstruction era, a period that lasted 10 years, from 1867 to 1877. Through the compromise, the U.S. Republican Rutherford B. Hayes was awarded the White House over Democrat Samuel Tilden on the understanding that Hayes would remove all U.S. troops whose support was essential to the, for the survival of the Republican state governors and governments in the South, such as South Carolina, Florida, and Louisiana. The compromise involved Democrats who controlled the House of Representatives. They allowed the decision of the Electoral College to take effect in favor of Republicans. To appease the Southern Democrats, outgoing Republican President, U.S. President Ulysses S. Grant made a racist military decision to remove all American troops from Florida. When Republican President Rutherford B. Hayes removed the remaining American troops from South Carolina and Louisiana, and as soon as the troops left, Caucasian racists reclaimed complete political and economic control of the South. Once racist white Democrats were in complete political and economic power, Southern Caucasians worked to abridge African parties people's equal rights. They employed loopholes in the U.S. Constitution, which they used to prevent masses of American African communities from voting, being judges, holding political offices, and owning land. Socially Caucasian racist terror attacks dominated lives of African people every day with the creation of the Ku Klux Klan, an American homegrown terrorist organization. This Caucasian supremacist group was created by former Confederate soldiers in Tennessee to kill and intimidate African people. Eventually, Southern Caucasians received their wishes to completely dominate African people by the end of the 19th century with the creation of segregation. In 1898 to 1966, segregation became the cultural, religious, and political, and social, and economic order of the day. The civil rights and black power. Movements of the 1950s and 60s and the early 70s will challenge and change racial dynamics in America between whites and blacks, people from segregated laws. Segregation racially separated African people from Caucasian people in every function of life in the United States. African people could not intermingle with Caucasians in marriage, public schools, public parks, restaurants, public restrooms, movie theaters, amusement parks, public buses, public trains, and public water fountains. Under segregation, African people were the last hired and first fired on the majority of jobs. The laws of segregation restricted us from buying land, owning our own homes, renting apartments, practicing our own businesses, and holding public office. But the militant movements of the 50s and 60s will force the establishment to protect the rights of our people through massive nonviolent social disobedience rallies and marches all over America. And by the mid-60s, the Civil Rights Act of 64 and the Voting Rights Act of 65 were established and ultimately signed into law by Lyndon Johnson, who was a Democrat. He was opposed by Republican presidential nominee Barry Goldwater. In your heart, you know he's right. That was his line. That was his saying, political saying, in your heart, you know he's right, which led many Caucasian Southern Democrats to vote Republican. That really wasn't the change from Democrat to Republican. I think it was starting to happen with FDR, who was a Democrat, and of course, Harry Truman was a Democrat. Eisenhower, who of course was the first president I remember because I was born in the early 50s, and Eisenhower was the president throughout the 50s and in 1960. Kennedy was elected. But the change happened around that time that we now, as the majority of us, are Democrats, because the Dixiecrats, the Democrats who were Southern-led and the Republicans who were Northern-led, they flipped. Yeah. Okay. The Democrats had to make concessions to the civil rights movement. This accelerated the shifting of the political demographics in the Republican Democratic parties. In the ensuing years, with the passing of the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act, and the increasing conservatism of the Republican Party compared to the liberalism of the Democratic Party, especially on social and cultural issues, led many racist Caucasians to vote Republican and eventually become members of the Republican Party of today. In this context of American history and politics, Nana Beaufort spoke at the ASCAC conference is right on time. His analysis on Caucasian domination playing a hidden hand to work and to annihilate African people is right on point. He said the attacks on African people are happening in circles of white hegemony. Remember, hegemony or hegemony is this: what's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. And this is theirs. It's showing that hell ain't ours. This is the prime example. In a book called
He said the attacks on African people are happening in circles of white hegemony, and Nana Beaufort is right. In a book called Not Out of Africa, and as I read this point, this part here, think about what is happening today with critical race theory. Think about what is happening today. This is 30 years ago. This is the 90s. The book author is Professor Mary out of Africa. How African centeredism became an excuse to teach myth as history. White racist intellectuals are still working to destroy African people by undermining African history and culture and negating our contributions to the world and American history by their lies. Not Out of Africa was published in 1996. The book author is Mary Lefkowitz. Not Out of Africa was produced in response to the popular and massive African-centered movement taking place amongst African people in America and in the world in the late 80s and early 90s. Afrocentrism challenged racist scholarship on world history and American history. And believe me, our scholars were kicking their ass. Baba Jetty, Dr. Jacob Carruthers, Dr. John Henry Clark, many of our scholars, the ASCAC organization, were kicking their ass, establishing the truth. She argued that Kemet did not play any role in the development of Greece, culture, and civilization. The late Cornell University scholar and professor, Dr. Martin Bernal, an internationally respected writer of European classics, wrote Black Athena. His important anti-racist work was published back in 1987. His book argued that Kemet, Egypt, played a major role in helping to create Greece's philosophy and science, religion, and linguistic culture traditions. He once participated in a huge debate in New York City with Professor Lefkowitz, Mary Lefkowitz. The debate also included Professor Guy McLean Rogers, Black Athena Revisited, Dr. John Henry Clark of Hunter College of Africana Studies. It was moderated by the legendary journalist Urich Lead. In 1996, at the debate, Dr. Bernal said, Not Out of Africa is an extremely provocative book. Martin Bunnell, who was Caucasian, wrote a review of the book, Not Out of Africa, in the London Review of Books, dated December 12, 1966, titled, Who's Greece? He wrote, Mary Lefkowitz's concern or obsession with Afrocentrism emerged suddenly in 1991 when she wrote a review of my book, Black Athena, for the New Republic. As a professor of classics, she was appalled to discover that people were writing books and teaching that Greece civilization had derived or even been stolen from Egypt and claiming that the ancient Egyptians were black, as well as Socrates and Cleopatra was black. The Afrocentrists maintained that Greece had been invaded from Africa in the middle of the second millennium and that Greek religion and the mystery schools were based on Egyptian prototypes, and that was called Greek philosophy, and is in fact secret wisdom of ancient Kemetic masonry. Bunnell went on to say, for this reason, she has published a series of overlapping articles denouncing African-centered myths. Not Out of Africa is a compilation of these pieces along with some added material and new arrangements. The blurb on the back of the book proclaims it to be a thoughtful inquiry, detailed, carefully researched, and fully documented. In fact, this is not an argument conducted with Afrocentrics, but an attempt to finish them off. The background information on Mary Lefkowitz is very interesting. Lefkowitz, a European Jew professor, is financed and supported well by the alt-right wing conservative groups. He said she has found powerful helpers on the far right. In her preface, she thanks the Bradley Foundation, the John Olin Foundation for their grants. These bodies are among the most generous contributors to right-wing organizations such as the National Review, the Heritage Foundation, and the National Association of Scholars. Lefkowitz sits on the advisory board of the last one and plays an active role in its journal, The Academy Questions. The concern of these organizations and journals is to turn back what their members and
contributors see as the tides of liberalism that have engulfed not only American society, but also education and highbrow media. Doesn't this all sound very familiar? Yes, it does. Another book used by Caucasian hegemony to justify the oppression of African people is called The Bell Curve. It was published in 1994. The book's author, Richard Ernstein and Charles Murray, argue in some many words that Caucasian people possess higher IQs. Unfortunately, Ernstein and Murray manipulated statistics. They negated the impact of racial, social, economic conditions playing out in American society, particularly in the American African community. But Ernstein and Murray did this to argue that African people are poor people, are inherently born with low IQs. But what's equally frightening is that they argued that the U.S. government system should do absolutely nothing to help remove the roadblocks keeping African people from being poor and in a permanent underclass. Vox journalist Matthew Iglesias wrote in an update review of the Bell Curve dated April 10, 2018, titled, "The Bell Curve is about policy, and it's wrong." The Bell Curve, co-authored with Ernstein, is, after all, not a work of scientific research, but rather a political book written by one of the most prominent conservative policy entrepreneurs in America as part of a larger ideological project. Like several of Murray's other books, including Losing Ground, In Our Hands, and Coming Apart, the basic subject of the Bell Curve is what should be done to help the disadvantaged in America. And the four books all right, reach the same conclusion that, loudly speaking, we should do little as possible. Again, interesting is the background information of Charles Murray. Charles Murray is paid well from racist ultra-right-wing organizations like the American Enterprise Institute, who financed his scholarship to build a movement to attack African people. Vox Journalism. Glacius continues with, "What's more, despite the myth-making around Murray, nobody has silenced or stymied him. He is one of the most successful authors of political relevant nonfiction work in America today. He is sconed at the center of the conservative policy establishment as a emeritus scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. And in 2016, he won the Bradley Prize, a prestigious conservative award that carries a $250,000 stipend. He regularly published op-eds in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times Review. Coming Apart was reviewed twice in the New York Times. Tom Edsel featured it in a column. He says it raises issues that are rarely examined with the rigor necessary to affirm or deny their legitimacy. And David Brooks recommended it twice, lauding the incredible data along with analysis the PBS built in an interactive around it. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, the American African community is in trouble. African people are under attack by European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege, better known as white supremacy. The system of racism, and from some of our own people in this new millennium, without a racial pan-African nationalist-centered African liberation movement to protect our people and our political interests, we are now at the mercy of our oppressors in America and in the world. We are African people. We as African people must understand that the establishment is not playing checkers with us. They are playing chess. Caucasian supremacy and a system of racism have been working to eliminate any threats to their existence from African people for centuries, and they are still doing it now. Caucasian hegemony is employing more modern day sophisticated weapons and resources to keep us blinded to our state of permanence, underclass, through the media, pop culture, rap music, and athletics. The racist cultural seeds, the establishments,
the Democrats, the Republicans, Libertarians, etc., have been planted in the past, but now grow into structures for African oppression, black disunity, the Europeanization and neocolonialism, and the colonization of African people in the African world community now. We must dig deep into our African history, culture, and spirituality to present and to presently find the soul of our revolutionary African consciousness to fight back against the destruction of African people. I say, Hotep, my brother, that's my good friend, Brother Bashir Muhammad Pataha Akinyele. He is a history teacher in Newark, and he is one of the ASCAC leaders in the Northeast. And he'll be my guest one day very soon. So I was reading that, and I hope that you you were listening and give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Because is it not the same that's happening now with this so-called critical race theory, CRT? Isn't it now the same as Caucasians are saying, no, we're going to put into these history books what we want. We're not, because in the immortal words of Colonel Nathan Jessup in the movie A Few Good Men, as he was being deposed by Tom Cruise's character on the witness stand, when Tom Cruise said, I want the truth. And what did Colonel Nathan Jessup say? You can't handle the truth. They can't, brothers and sisters. They can't. And they're talking about, well, we don't want little white kids all upset about all the bad stuff that they would. And the truth hurts. Because your history is so damn bad. It is so rotten that you got to make fairy tales. It is so terrible. Your history is disgusting. Everywhere you went. In fact, I remember, if you've done it. I know I've done it a couple of times. I haven't done it in quite a while. Go look in an almanac or any kind of history book and just start paging through it of events. And of course, if it's in English, it's more than likely from a perspective of Europeans. And I looked at it, and I'm like, most of the events that these Caucasians herald are wars, are conflicts. These are a very war-monging people, is what you see today with Russia, who are Caucasians. The only thing about Russians and Europeans, Russians are on the east side of Asia, and Europeans are on the west side of Asia. And that's right, brothers and sisters, Europe is not a continent, okay? Europe is not a continent by anybody's definition. And so the Eastern Europeans, Russians, they felt that there was some land that they felt was theirs, Ukraine. And I don't know how Ukraine got its independence, but it should maintain it. They should be able to live freely. But Russia and how it is, I don't know if Putin wants to reestablish the USSR. if that is his goal, to reestablish the USSR by physically taking people's land. Supposedly, there's two areas that are in the southeastern portion of the Ukraine that want independence, and Putin recognizes their independence. He's using any excuse to go in. Now, whether he wants the Ukraine to be once again part of Russia, whether he wants the Ukraine because of its mineral wealth, that's always a pretense. I mean, look at what the United States has done. Going into Libya, going into Iraq. Look what they have done. Look what the European Jews have done by taking what they now call Israel. So, you know, that's why I'm consistently promoting us to be independent in our thinking. To hell with Democrats. To hell with Republicans. We are Pan-Africanists. We are Pan-Africans. We are Pan-Africans. We are Pan-Africans. The motto of this program, the motto of this program is Pan-Africanism or perish. If we do not have Pan-Africanism, if we do not go home and reclaim and restore and recapture the land and reestablish the culture strongly, we'll perish. Unify. If we're not unified, and the only way we can do that, brothers and sisters, the only way we can do anything that I talk about is through unity. Either we unify or we die. That's it. Either we unify or we will die. Many of us are hoping, talking to a brother this morning, you know, and I said to him, I have zero, not a zilch, no faith at all in this system, in this country. And he was like, but I got kids and, you know, and hope that's not, I mean, I don't want you to be right because I want them to grow up in a society where they have opportunity. You know, the thing for us will always be as it relates to Caucasian, we'll have opportunity. We won't have equal opportunity. We'll never have equal opportunity. This is theirs, not ours. Now, they're about to put this sister on the Supreme Court. And I seen a piece about this sister. She married to a Caucasian. Her last name is Jackson. So when she had a hyphen name, Brown Jackson, I thought she was, you know. But anyway, she married to a Caucasian. And what's interesting, and I need to pull that up, I'm going to find it. There was a case in the Northeast against Boeing or one of the big airlines makers. That was won, and a settlement was won. And she rejected these brothers and sisters getting this settlement. I need to get the details to read it to you, because to me, her ass definitely don't need to be on the Supreme Court. But then again, so what? Because even if she was a strong sister, her lone voice against the nine, and particularly her voice along with Sotomayor, along with what's her name, Kagan, and along with they're only four, and there are five of them. Actually, only three. Because what they have done is put Roberts in with them, has a moderate voice. Only three. Three women. So there's four women now on the Supreme Court. Four women. And it don't mean a damn thing as far as we're concerned. As far as I'm concerned, if you want, you know, if you want to go with that, you know, you go with that. Just like this piece I just read to you, did it not sound like what is being happening, what is happening right at this moment as it relates to instilling and talking about history and what is going to be taught in the schools? One of the main things that happened with the election in Virginia with the governor, and the first thing he did as governor, Youngkin or whatever the hell his name is, was to put a law in or against critical race theory. We can't have it. We can't have critical race theory. It's not even being taught. But this Caucasian, he did a good job. I got to give it to him. He did a good job of going around the country arguing foursquare against it.
saying it was going to be taught to little kids. They're going to feel real bad about themselves, that they're bad, and it's going to be very divisive. This country's always been divisive. Stop it. And so we can't have that. Give us a call, brothers and sisters. I got a few people on the queue. You know what to do. Hit star twice. Hit star twice so we can have a conversation about what I just read and what is happening. And do you believe there is a conspiracy to kill African people, to destroy African people? Do you believe that? You know, because we're trained not to. We're trained not to believe that somebody's trying to destroy us. We don't want to believe that. We want to believe that me as a person, I have every right, all abilities to have this country, to take advantage of all the things that this country has to offer. I have, you know, from an individualistic perspective, that's true. That's true. I never argue that. I've never argued what an individual can do. But I've always said that what an individual can do is weak and pale in comparison to what we could do collectively. And of course, we cannot be a collective people in this individualistic society. We can't exercise that. Here it is, 2021. No, 2022, damn it. And yet, we were better off 100 years ago, collectively, than we are today. The mentality of the Klan and those people in like mind, that hasn't gone away. No, ain't none of that stuff gone away. And yet, we think that somehow, some way, we can appeal to a people who are amoral, appeal to a people who have no conscience, appeal to a people that profess to be religious or Christian, profess to, but in actuality, they don't practice none of that. And so, you know, I'm saying we got to teach ourselves. We got to get ready to get up out of here. We got to teach brothers and sisters on the continent. This situation that we're in can be changed. But it can only be done by us. And do we have the will to do it? Do we have the will to do it? What needs to happen? Brothers and sisters with wherewithal need to step up and not be afraid. If they have serious wherewithal, they not be afraid. And put some serious funding. American Africans all over who have wherewithal, put money into a organization that is trusted. Organization that will teach our people. This is what we need. We need an educational process. Just like European Jews, I've mentioned this many times. European Jews, whether it's at the synagogue or center, whatever the hell it is their responsibility to teach their people what it means to be a European Jew, the culture, the traditions, all of that. They get social studies somewhere else. They get language somewhere else. They get science somewhere else. They get math somewhere else. But when it comes to who they are as a people, excuse me, That is for them to instill in their young and reiterate with their elders and teach in their synagogues. That is theirs. That is their responsibility, as it is ours. But because we've been trained for so long not to trust one another, not to believe in one another, not to work with one another, we've been trained for so long. That's why they could call a meeting like they did in this piece I just read, with the express purpose of presenting something that will sabotage the real will and aspirations of African people to be independent, self-determining, liberated, and sovereign. To me, if whatever you are doing is not towards independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty, then you ain't doing shit. You ain't doing nothing. You doing the same old, same old. You ain't doing nothing. You are consistently begging and pleading for Caucasians to validate you, to let you in, to give you a piece of this rotten ass pie. The most important thing that we as African people can do at this very moment is to kick this madness to the curb and embrace our Africanness. Embrace our African mind, our African spirituality. Call on our ancestors. Be our ancestors. The most important thing that you can do at this very moment, and do it every day, it's not here. It is not here. We will never be free here. It is not meant for us as African people. I don't want us to be a caricature of Caucasians, where we don't have our name. We don't have our language. We don't have all the essence of the human spirit of being African. I don't want that. I don't want to be in it. Damn it, I'm going to get my grandson through this process, and I'm getting the hell up out of here. I'm getting out of here. Well, we got to beg their ass again for voting rights. This is crazy. Look what they have done because of that election. Look what they have done, believing that the election was stolen. Not the fact that Trump is such a damn idiot and a terrible person, a liar from day one. Somebody told me, he says, well, you know, when Trump was president, I had a little bit more money. See, it was a little bit better. Yeah, it was about to come to a damn end any damn way with Trump. Now, some have said that what Trump was saying about Putin, how genius he is, how great he is, was saying that he did this because of Biden's weakness, and that if he was in the White House, he would have stopped Putin. He would have told Putin, hey, don't go up into I don't see it. I don't. And you know what? I don't see it. I don't know. And you know what? I don't care. I don't care. You know, there was a time some time ago in NBA, National Basketball Association, that the owners kept paying high salaries and kept spending more money and more money, and their so-called profit margins were decreasing and so forth. And they said to themselves as owners, these cats don't want to come to the table to see our side negotiate this. We're going to lock them out. We're going to make them come to the table and agree to our terms in negotiation. We're going to lock them out. The players were locked out. And I thought to myself, these Negroes, if they had the heart, if Karl Malone and Charles Barkley, all these cats at that time, Jordan and anybody, all the players at that time could have said, hey, listen, lock us out. We'll develop our own league. We can put together a league in a year. And even though the venues we may be playing in, starting out may be small, maybe on HCBU campuses, may only hold about 5,000 people. Maybe our television contract on BET or OWN or whatever. But lock us out. Lock us out. Go ahead. We'll establish ourselves because we're the game. People turn on the TV. They don't turn on the TV to see the coach. They don't turn on the TV to see the general manager. Many of them don't know who the owner is, except for owners that who are out there, like Mark Cuban or something like that. They don't give a damn about the owner. What is the product on the court? Who's playing? No, they couldn't do that. I'm lock you out and make you come to my demands. And that's what happened. Because the Players Association probably never even thought, or gave even an idea, or even told the owners, well, listen, you're going to lock us out, then we're going to establish our own. They better not even say that, even think that. And now, March is on the horizon. The NCAA tournament, where billions of dollars. There's a line of Bill Maher, but you know Bill Maher. I'm not crazy about Bill Maher. I watch Bill Maher. I listen to Bill Maher. You know, I don't have HBO anymore, but online you can catch Bill Maher on YouTube. You know, you can catch Bill Maher. But Bill Maher has a piece. You know, I think that is a pretty pointed piece. You know, he says, let me find that piece here so I could quote it correctly so you can get the full effect of it. And it's, you know, it's just like us being, just like Bill wrote it in his book, the $4 million slave. Because that's who we are. We out there, the $4 million slave, you know? Yeah. Coming up on it soon. I sense it. March Madness really is a stirring reminder of what America was founded on, making tons of money off the unpaid labor of African people. When Shabazz Napier, who played for the University of Connecticut, and they had just won a tournament, and he's being interviewed. He was a little small guard, and he's being interviewed, and he says, you know, I'll be going to bed hungry. Whew. Right away, the NC2A provided some snacks for their ass. Let them get some snacks. The NC2, man, when I see the president of the NC2A, the present president, Emmerich, him along with another bunch of Caucasians, I just want to punch in the face. I just want to punch him in the face. You know, this image and likeness, there's a lot of things happening now than that, and we'll talk more about that. next month with what's happening in sports. Do these young men, they're making money. Now these cats are making money. I just went image and likeness. There are alternatives. There's a league here. My grandson, who of course is he's in the ball. He's, keeps track of all of this. There's a league that plays downtown here, Atlantic Station, where young kids go to school and play ball, and they get paid. Yeah. There's so many avenues. LaMelo Ball, who played in the All-Star game, he went to Europe and played. Or overseas. I'm not sure if it was Europe or whatever. There's the G League. You could play. There's a nice young man played here. His father runs the 360 where my grandson was playing in AAU. Nice young man. He got paid. He's playing in the G League. I don't know if it's $1,000 a year or if it's $1,000, $100,000, or maybe even 2 year, half a million. 2 year, half a million. $500, and it has to be in for two seasons. It's a contract for his development. When he makes it big, I'll let you know who that young man is. Scoot Henderson, I think it is. Truly different, truly better. Some may argue they like the old way. They didn't believe that college athletics, college players should get paid. It's okay if the coach makes, millions of dollars. That's why I hate Dabo Sweeney with such passion. I can't stand his ass. I'd bust him out. If I ever had an opportunity to bust his ass, I would. He was adamant. He was demonstrative. No, they shouldn't get paid. But the minute you get paid, I'm going to be. This man is making, I think it was making $8 million. $8 million a year. The highest paid person in the state of South Carolina. That's not, that's a public employee. Same with Alabama. Nick Saban. $11 million. And both of them, they have contracts with the apparel people, the Nike people, or whoever. They get paid, and the players have to wear that. The players have to wear that. They also have television programs, radio programs. They get other endorsements, commercials. You see Saban on him and Dion on that Aflac commercial. This is a system here in this country of usury. And as I just said to you in this piece I just read, the Caucasian, Ernestine and Murray, the bell curve, believe that we are intellectually inferior and there is no, we shouldn't, nothing should be done. You shouldn't have no Head Start programs. You shouldn't have nothing because it's useless. Nothing should be done. So I'm saying, brothers and sisters, if we are going to get into a situation that is beneficial for us as a people, it has to be done by us independent of this situation that we're in. It cannot be in this environment. We're in the midst of an open and sworn enemy. History has consistently shown us how these people are and what they will do. When many of us think, won't they protect us? Hell no, they ain't going to protect your ass. I'm not saying there's not a Caucasian in your realm or in your sphere of influence. That's not a decent person. I don't know. And I don't care that you have a relative or what. I don't know, and I don't care. What I care about is African people coming into the realization of who we are as African people. That's what I care about. I care about African people managing their land, managing their resources, being players in the world, having forms of government where men and women work together for the betterment of everyone, for the betterment of children, for the betterment of family, for the betterment of elders, in honor and respect for the ancestors. That's what I care about. I give less than a rat's ass. You know, I love sports, as you know, I've talked about a number of times, and I've said many, many times. If someone said, if you give up sports, then you can have what you desire, and that is independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. I say in a heartbeat, give it up. If we as a people would come into that reality, come into that existence, I'd give it up in a heartbeat. March Madness is really a stirring reminder of what America was founded on, making tons of money off the unpaid labor of black people. Yeah. So, brothers and sisters, once again, I want to thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you. I know it was a kind of disjointed show. I had a caller kept calling me and all of the kind of stuff. But, hey, we got through it, and we always will. We always will, brothers and sisters. We'll always get through it. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day, a great weekend. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy your family. Hope everything is positive in your life. Hope everything goes well. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibifahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a wonderful day, family. I hope to see you back here on Monday.